You've downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast with your host, Andrew T. Evans, featuring special guest, Jeremy Royer. And now it's time for the Buckeye Leafcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast. I'm your host, Andy Evans, and joining me for today's ceremonious, but maybe not so ceremonial, podcast, because we are going to not recap another big Ohio State win because, well, they didn't play because of, guess what? COVID. But still, nonetheless, the show must go on, and we're down a man, but that doesn't mean that we're still not going to get a little weird like we always do. I've got my boy, Mr. Jeremy Royer, on today's podcast, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, dog?
What's going on, man?
Well, we're missing Mr. Himes today. Yeah. He was unable to make it, but like I said, man, the show must go on, and you know, just on a personal note, dude, you and I, we've been talking with another gentleman who has appeared on several Buckeye Leafcasts. Everybody knows his name, the Triple R, Mr. Ryan Ross Rohrer, whom I reached out to see if he could actually jump on with us today because Mr. Himes was unavailable. But unfortunately, Mr. Royer is unavailable too. Not Royer, but Rohrer. And so it's just going to be you and I. But nonetheless, dude, we've been talking with Ross throughout the week, and we've just been bringing up, and this is one thing I want to jump into, okay? First of all, like I said, Ohio State did not play. They were supposed to play Illinois, and Ohio State apparently had a high number of tests. They're not releasing the specific amount. They're not releasing specific names. However, they did throw in that head coach Ryan Day did test positive for it. So he is out for the next 10 days, although not sure exactly when his test came in. But they announced it on Friday. So if it was around Friday, Jeremy, that he tested positive and he's got to self-quarantine for at least 10 days, then that more than likely means everything's being thrown into flux. Ohio State, if they want to make the Big Ten championship game, has got to now play this coming Saturday against Michigan State. And of course, they've got to play in the game come December 12th against the Rodents down here in Columbus. But you know what, Jeremy? The stance that I have taken, and it is in opposition of Mr. Ryan Ross Rohrer, and my stance is this: who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Who the hell cares about this season? It is a complete wash. I've made that statement on Twitter. I've made that statement on Facebook. And quite frankly, I'm just at the point where this is a complete wash of a season. They're not playing a full slated schedule. And on top of that, the NCAA has already come out and said that all of these student athletes, get a free pass. So if you're a true freshman this year, Jeremy, you still have true freshman status come next season. So this is, you stated it perfectly, dude. It's like watching a bunch of glorified practices.
Yep, glorified scrimmages.
So, and that's where I'm at. And I'm sorry, my stance seems to be very, very unpopular and in the major minority opinion that this season doesn't matter. And I think you're with me on it, but I know that there are some things that our buddy Ryan Ross Rohrer brought up that we can understand. But just from your aspect, what's your feeling on this whole season?
Well, with everything you went through, man, there's a lot to unpack. As you were talking, I'm like, there's so many directions this conversation can go. you brought up so much stuff, and I'm just like, oh my God, because, well, we'll get to all that, but my overall sense of this year is like, I'm with you, man. And who would have ever thunk it that in Columbus, we would, with football, we'd be like, it's just as serious as we take it here, that it's just a wash. It's like, as an athlete, and I get where Ross is coming from. You know, his stance is, you know, as an athlete or as a coach, how serious they take it and the preparation just to be able to get the season in and all that stuff. And I get that, and I agree with it. But as a fan, you know, that watches my Buckeyes, it's just hard to take it with any validity. It's just it's hard, man. It's like, yeah, we've only played 4 games. It's almost December and we've played 4 games. It's just like, I can't. And then, but it's weird because then you look across the landscape of college football and there are teams that are still on pace to play a regular number of games. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like, you look at, you know, Alabama. Well, let's take the people at the top. Alabama, Clemson, Florida, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. They're all playing 8-9 games already, and here we are. We've played 4 games.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to take it serious. And you and I have had the discussion about, you know, well, you know, whoever wins it, someone else is going to have a gripe, whether it be you played, you know, too many games, or you didn't play enough games, or you were healthier, or you were not healthy. It's just, it's hard to put a stamp on it, anything being valid this year. It's just, I don't know. It's just such a weird season, man.
Let's get into the debate first about the college football playoff, because if Ohio State were to get in, and just to let everybody out there know, and I'm sure most people that listen to this program do know this, but the College Football Playoff Committee does not have a specified minimum requirement of games that need to be played to get into the Final Four. So Ohio State could theoretically not play the next 2 games, be 4-0, and be considered one of the best teams in the country. And I'm sorry, that's a crock of crap.
It is.
That should not be. Okay, College Football Playoff Committee, you can do whatever you want. You can make up whatever rules you want. We're in America, land of the free, home of the brave, you know, First Amendment rights, freedom of choice, all of that crap. You can do what you want, College Football Playoff Committee. But I'm sorry, if Ohio State were to have to forfeit their next 2 games and be 4-0 and not have technically played for a Big Ten championship, but yet still be voted in as one of the Final Four games. Dude, do you realize the backlash and the outcry that would come from teams like Clemson, Alabama, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, BYU, all of these teams that have played a lot more games than Ohio State and have quite frankly proven themselves, even if they do play at least BYU and Cincinnati in weaker conferences, non-Power 5 conferences. Well, hell, BYU's an independent, but still, you know, if Ohio State were to get in over those teams, I'd shake my head at the whole system, because that right there would tell me that that is nothing more than politics as far as getting in a team that you know is going to draw eyeballs to the television set and is going to essentially bring in more money.
Well, let's take a specific example. Let's say they put Ohio State in over a Cincinnati. Okay.
Yeah.
You're basically putting in a Power 5 conference just because it's a Power 5 conference. Even though they didn't play for a Big Ten championship, you're going off the quote-unquote the eye test. We still think they're one of the 4 best teams, even though they only played 4 games. I'm telling you right now, for me, if that were to happen, that specific scenario, let's say they put them in over Cincinnati, who's undefeated, I would have no respect anymore for the college, but that committee – moving forward next year and the year, it would just be a joke to me.
Yeah.
It would just be, you can't put somebody that only played 4 games into the college football. You just can't. And this is, and you and I, man, this is coming from 2 extremely hardcore Buckeye fans. I wouldn't want them in.
Me neither.
It's just not fair. It's not to the whole landscape of college football. It would not be fair because of the viewership it would bring, and if we were able to actually have fans, the fan base it would draw to wherever it's at, the tickets that would sell. I get all that, but it's not fair to the other, to everybody else. It's just not.
And I'm sorry. I know this is the Buckeye Leaf cast, and there are people out there that are probably going, dude, what the hell are you talking about, Andy? You're a Buckeye fan. You should be backing up the fact that Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country. And truly, dude, Do I believe that Ohio State would beat Cincinnati, would beat BYU, if this were a regular year and everybody was on the same level, if you will, as far as games played and all that kind of stuff? Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that Ohio State could definitely beat both of those teams. And then I'm sure now people are saying, well then, Andy, why are you not saying that if Ohio State got in, it's still fair? You believe that they're one of the better teams. I do, but it's just the principle of the matter that those teams put in more time and effort in games played, and I realize it's not necessarily Ohio State's fault. It's the Big Ten Conference, so we shouldn't be blaming Ohio State if Ohio State got in. We should be blaming the College Football Playoff Committee, or if Ohio State didn't get in, we should be blaming the Big Ten Conference for not allowing them to have that same start as the other conferences out there. But it is what it is. It's 2020. It's a coronavirus year. What else can you say? So that's where we're standing, and if Ohio State were to get in over some of those teams, I'm with you, Jeremy. I would see it as a sham, and I probably wouldn't have as much confidence in the College Football Playoff Committee moving forward.
Well, you know what's funny, man, is they're sitting here saying this, and the whole idea of the transition from the BCS, you know, format they had to this playoff committee and doing four teams was so that they would put the four best teams in based on, like, you know, what the eye test or who they thought, you know, if the committee wants to put the who they think the four best teams are, then go ahead. And then we're sitting here saying, well, no, even though, you know, they might think Ohio State, or we may think Ohio State would beat Cincinnati or BYU or, you know, anybody close that would, you know, they would put us in the top four. It's just the idea of only playing four games is just my only argument. Could they compete with anybody in the top four, and could they beat the people that are teetering on that, you know, like Cincinnati or BYU? Yeah, probably. But it's just the fact that you got to earn it. You got to play more than four games to get me to buy into you being in the top four. It's the games played, man. It is what it is in this season. Like you said, it's a COVID season. We knew that at some point it was going to hit our program. It was just a matter of when and how much of an impact was it going to have on what goals they have this year of a Big Ten championship and then, you know, making the playoffs. And apparently it's going to have a pretty significant impact, at least it looks like.
So right now, as stated before, Ohio State has to win. Well, they have to at least play in the next two games. They have to play just to make the Big Ten championship. So now here's a scenario that was kind of running through my mind, dude. All right. Ohio State indeed plays this coming Saturday against Michigan State, all right? And they win. Or they lose. And then they play the Smelly Rodents, and they win or lose. Basically, one of the two next games, they lose. God forbid. But they go then 5-1. Now, Indiana has played six games. They are now officially eligible for the Big Ten championship game, all right? They're in if Ohio State cannot play one of the next two games. Indiana is now in the Big Ten championship game, theoretically, as long as they win those games. I mean, they're basically in the driver's seat right now if Ohio State is out. Indiana is 5-1. The next team below them is a team they just beat in Maryland, who is now 2-2. So here's my thing, though, Jeremy. Let's say this. Let's say Indiana plays the next two games, which is at Wisconsin this coming Saturday, and then at home on the 12th against Purdue, which are both teams in the West. So right now, Indiana has played their first six games all against East Division schools. And they've gone 5-1. So they've beaten Maryland, Michigan State, Michigan, Rutgers, and Penn State. The only loss, of course, are to the Buckeyes. But they're 5-1. Let's say Indiana then beats Wisconsin, beats Purdue, goes 7-1 overall, and Ohio State loses one of the next two games to go 5-1. Overall. Now here's the thing. They take the overall conference record as being the champion, whether you lost those games against all of the teams in your division, or if you lost one or two of the games against the teams in the other division, right? And right. So at that point, Indiana would be 7-1 and technically have a better overall win percentage than Ohio State would have at 5-1. Who gets the nod? Because this is one thing that I, in all of my research, maybe I just haven't been looking hard enough or been digging deep enough, but I have not been able to find anywhere where it says that everything's thrown out the window as far as an overall win percentage is concerned. And in this case, let's say Ohio State only has one loss, Indiana only has one loss, and then they decide on who that one loss is to, and if it's a head-to-head loss, then the other team gets in, regardless of having played two less games and technically having a worse winning percentage. That's one thing I have not been able to find and figure out, and I wish I could find it. Once again, maybe I'm just not looking hard enough or digging deep enough, but I don't know.
I mean, in a traditional sense, if two teams tie and they played each other, you would go to head-to-head, which would favor the Buckeyes. But if Indiana's 7-1 and we're 5-1, you would think you'd have to give the nod to Indiana because they've played more games.
Right.
If it was a traditional year and we ended the season tied, but we beat them in a head-to-head, then we would go. But with this season, it's just... it's weird. It's like, I would have to say Indiana would go and play probably Northwestern. And we texted about that yesterday. We were like, that's going to be a slobber knocker of a game. You know, who's going to be tuning in to watch Northwestern and Indiana in the Big Ten championship game?
And see, and that's what brings me back to our original discussion of the validity of this season. If Northwestern and Indiana play in the Big Ten championship game. Now, if they were all on even level footing, where all the teams had played 8 games, and indeed Indiana was the best team in the Big Ten East, and Northwestern was the best team in the Big Ten West, then I would accept that as being legitimate. But the fact that all of these teams are canceling games, it just makes me... think that this is just not a legitimate year. And once again, it's a throwaway season. I'm sorry. We beat Indiana head to head, but just because we couldn't play 2 games or 3 games or 4 games, you know, are you going to sit there and tell me that just because of that, that Indiana technically is now the winner of the Big Ten East and gets to go play Northwestern for a Big Ten championship? That's what makes me say that it's not a real season.
But, you know, I mean, would we have to, like, start – I mean, I hate to – you were talking about, well, if we had, you know, we had 2 games canceled so far, and then you were like, possibly 4. But do we have to start looking at who actually canceled games? So whose fault was it? So the first one was Maryland. That was them that canceled that game. So do we not fault Ohio State for that one and say, okay, well, we'll give you that one. But the Illinois game, that was us that canceled it. So is the committee going to, like, look at that and be like, well, the first one wasn't their fault, but this one was them that canceled it? And we can get into the whole cancellation thing, because there's a lot of stuff going on about that cancellation on our end that seems very – I'm looking at it really side-eye. Like, something weird's going on. Like, somebody has it that they don't want to disclose, or, you know, they're trying to get out in front of it with the press conference they had to kind of – get in front of it, and there's more to this than we know, because I heard you say something about, in the text thread yesterday, about this seems all kind of weird. Like, is there something going on that we don't know? Like, is it, you know, somebody has it, these tests that they're not disclosing who's positive other than Ryan Day? So is it Justin Fields and they just don't want anybody to know? Because they said we could play. We didn't hit the threshold of, you know, 5%, but we think it's best that we don't play. That seems really shady to me.
Absolutely. And here's what's interesting. So this is some stuff that I looked up, and the conference does not mandate that teams release the actual number of players infected, nor do they require the names of the athletes who are infected. And that's what I did bring up in that text. I said, isn't it interesting that that Ohio State is not releasing the names of the players? Because when Wisconsin was out, they came out and said, yeah, you know, Graham Mertz and was it – I don't think Jack Cohn had
Yeah, he was already hurt. He had a different injury that he was out anyway.
Yeah, so he was already out. But, like, Graham Mertz and another backup were out. They at least came out with a couple of names and said, yeah. But if you do notice, though, these teams have not really been coming out and announcing, yeah, Justin Fields, he is the one that has it. Or, you know, when Maryland canceled, we don't know who was infected by them. So it is, though, interesting that, yes, they could have played yesterday but opted not to. So, and that's the thing, though. If a player is infected, they must quarantine for 21 days.
He'd be done for the season.
And if it's Justin Fields and that's the reason, or a Garrett Wilson or a Chris Olave, or those would be three of the guys that I would think they would say, if these guys come down with it, we're not going to play. You know what I mean? Because even if Master Teague came down with it, I think they could still go, you know what? We got Trey Sermon. We got Steel Chambers back there. We know we can rely on them to run the football.
Yeah.
You know, even maybe, you know, a Garrett Wilson or a Chris Olave, if both of them came down with it, then I could see them going, shit. Boy, yeah, our receiving game, I mean, it's okay, but we can't rely on just Jameson Williams being the upperclassman of the group and then a bunch of freshmen to come in, you know, unless they're really going to go tight end heavy and throw to our boys Jeremy Ruckert and Luke Farrell. But, yeah, they could have played. They didn't play. They're not releasing the names of who is infected, which they're not. They don't have to. They're not mandated to. But it's still very interesting that they could have played and they did it. That's an excellent point.
And, you know, that makes me, on a side note, that kind of makes me, I guess, respect. I hate to say this, man.
Uh-oh.
God, strike me down. It makes me respect Clemson a little bit.
That they came out and said Trevor Lawrence had it.
Because they said Trevor Lawrence has it, man.
Yep.
He's sitting. And they took a loss. They took a loss to Notre Dame because I firmly believe, and I know that DJ, Aloga, whatever his name is, I don't know what his last name is.
Ooh, I think it's Uiagalelei. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, he was like the top rank. I get it. He was a stud. And I think in that game, he threw for like, was it like 400? I mean, he threw for a lot.
Yeah,
but
he was good.
I just think that if Trevor Lawrence would have been there, just that his presence that to that team, his calming, you know, I think they would have steamrolled Notre Dame. But, you know, I got to respect him. And I hate saying that, dude, because I can't. We had this conversation before about Clemson, how much we just,
yes.
But the fact that they came out and they were like, hey, man, he's got it. He's sitting. He's out. And it's just like, are we really going to play those games where it's like, you know, Justin Fields has it, or Olave, or Wilson, or hell, all three of them? I mean, because if Ryan Day's got it, it's like, what player would you think would be around Ryan Day the most?
Justin Fields.
Exactly. So it's like, when it was announced Ryan Day had it on Friday night, I was like, they're not going to play. There's no way. There's no way they're going to play. And then they said Larry Johnson was going to coach. I'm like, all right, well, they could go win with Larry Johnson. He's a good, you know, they rally around him.
Yeah.
It's Illinois. They'll win.
Yeah.
And then when they were like, hey, the team was going to travel out tonight. They're going to wait till in the morning on Saturday morning. I went, they're not going to play. They're not going to travel out on Saturday morning.
No way.
And fly to Champaign and then go right on the field and play a football game.
Yeah. That sounded pretty hinky to me, too.
It was all fishy, and then I was watching the Oregon State game, and then it finally came across that the game was canceled, and I was like, oh, here we go. I'm like, there's another game, and now, you know, to get back to something you were saying, now we have to sit here and rely on Michigan State, and then them smelly-ass rodents up north to play us, to qualify us for the Big Ten championship game and potentially the playoffs. Harbaugh and Michigan could be like, you know what? Screw you guys. We're not going to play. We got COVID. And screw our entire – what better way, if you can't beat us on the field, they haven't been able to beat us in recent years, what better way to screw us than to be like, you know, we go beat Michigan State. We're like, all right, we just got to get, you know, the team up north. We got to beat them. And they're like, well, we got COVID. We can't play this week. You know, what better way to stick it to us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because at this point, hell, Michigan State and Michigan, I mean, they're done, right? I mean, their season is completely screwed. Oh, yeah. You know, they're out. So, I mean, Michigan's 2-4. Michigan State is 2-3. Of course, we're going to get into that that awesome performance that the Rodents had yesterday to give Penn State their first win of the friggin' season.
Man.
But in the meantime, you know what? Yeah, it's just it's very perplexing as to why they canceled that game, and it does make you sit back and wonder if indeed it was somebody major who had it, and they were like, we don't want to push it. Although, wouldn't you maybe still have some faith? Let's say it was Justin Fields. Would you still maybe have some faith that a guy like Jack Miller or C.J. Stroud could have come in and still been an efficient enough game manager, even being a true freshman, the both of them, and win the football game? Just because, I mean, you know, Illinois, 2-3 Illinois, I would still have faith that Ohio State could have put one of those guys in there and maybe wouldn't have looked as pretty beating a 2-3 Illinois on their home field with a true freshman quarterback. But I still think they could have stuck one of those guys in there and got the job done.
But go back to something you said a little bit ago, too, to add to this, another layer to this. Let's say it was him, and you're right. Could they have put Jack Miller or C.J. Stroud? And I say probably Jack Miller because he's the one that came in, you know, in the mop-up, you know, little. I think he's only played a couple of drives. Hell, he had that touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah, against Nebraska.
And Ryan Day had to apologize against Nebraska.
Yeah.
But could they have won? Probably. Go back to something you said. What better opportunity for a true freshman where it's a waste year? You still have another. It doesn't count this year. What better game experience if Justin Fields has it? All right, let's put one of these guys out there. He can play the last three games of the year, and it doesn't matter. It gets him experience for next year because we know Justin's gone.
Yeah.
He's going to go pro. What better, you know, experience can you give a true freshman quarterback than to play these next three games? And it's a wash because it doesn't count for a year of eligibility. You still got to, you know, and you get gaming experience against Michigan State, Michigan, Illinois, on the road. Like, what better scenario could you have for getting somebody experience?
And not having to worry about burning a year, having a free, completely 100% free pass. Dude, that is an excellent point. That's something that I actually didn't even come to mind for me, but that is an awesome point. But you want to know, I'm going to counter that and say the reason that Ohio State is not coming out with the names is because if it is Justin Fields, they want to see how severe he's probably feeling and go, okay, if we can get away with this, let's go ahead and play Justin next week. Now, I would think, though, that the Big Ten protocol would be, all right, you guys don't have to announce who's got it to the public, and we certainly won't announce either, but you damn well better be telling us who the infected players are.
Right.
I would think that the Big Ten would require the schools to let them know each individually infected student athlete.
Yeah, but what's perplexing for me and probably for you is, as fans, you and I, we're kind of in the minority, is that we look at this season as we're not getting enough games in, it's a wash, they're glorified scrimmages or whatever, and then you have the team. Going to Ross's point, okay, this would be in favor of Ross, is that Ryan Day and these players, because they thought they were going to have a special year, are trying to hold on to that, this team that we have together right now, and protecting Justin Fields, and we want him to be the one that's playing because we think we can win something this year, and they're trying to hold on to that So it's not a wasted year as far as like a championship or, you know, and we're sitting here like, it doesn't mean shit to me at this point. Like, it's like, as a fan, I'm like, man, I don't care anymore. It's like, if they play, I'm going to root for them. Yes, I don't want them to lose. But as far as like a Big Ten championship, it's like, eh, like, okay. It's like, or a playoff berth, it's like, okay. Now, am I still going to cheer them on when they're playing? Of course I am.
Absolutely.
But the team, they're trying, because everybody said before this year, before COVID, this was going to be a special year for us because of Justin and Olave and Garrett Wilson and all the studs coming in. And I think they're trying to hold on to that behind the scenes. They don't want to let it go yet. And so they're trying to protect him. And this is all speculation. We don't know if it's him.
Yeah. But no, absolutely. Yeah.
To me, it looks like it, though. I mean, if you're telling me you could have played, but you didn't hit the threshold. You didn't hit the 5%. We could have played. We're not going to. We think it's the safe play. It's like, then somebody wasn't going to be out there that, you know, and it's like, who would that be? Gee, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that who it would be if they're protecting anybody. So, you know.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is the reason that they called it off. Once again, and this is a major conspiracy theory, and one that I basically just said, and I'm going to say it again, that if Ohio State, you know, people heard me say it, I'm sure that this would absolutely cause an uproar, but that they're trying to hide the fact that if it was Justin Fields, they do not want people to know that it was him, so he doesn't have to quarantine for 3 weeks. But once again, going back to my other point, I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that the Big Ten Conference mandates that they are informed who the infected players are, because what good is it to have this 3-week quarantine rule, but then allow the teams themselves to police themselves, right? Which they essentially are, because they're the ones running the tests and they're the ones submitting the results. So I don't know. That's a complete conspiracy theory to me as to why they wouldn't play, but why are they not releasing the names?
Yeah.
And that's an excellent point too, because the team probably still feels like, yes, we have an opportunity to go out there and hopefully play for a Big Ten championship. And on top of that, though, the Ohio State probably knows, hey, you know what? We can give up some games. We may even have to give up a Big Ten championship. But, fellas, there's still an outside possibility. We could get into the college football playoff and still play for a national championship. So keep that in the back of your mind. And I'm sure that those players still want to hold on to that, like you said. So, I don't know.
But man, but do you honestly think, like, the whole – now we're going to get into the whole scenario of, you know, teams that have played more, and then, like you know, let's say, for example, Ohio State had to play – they made the playoffs, they had to play Notre Dame. So, Notre Dame's going to have played, you know, 10, 12 games, whatever, and – Ohio State would play, I don't know, 6, 7, whatever. And you would think, well, Ohio State would be fresher legs, because they haven't played as much. And Notre Dame's played more games, so, and they're more battle-tested. So, but do you honestly think, based on what we've seen this year, that if Ohio State decided, well, we can give up a few games and, you know, and still be, do you think this team would play well against a Notre Dame or a Clemson, or based on what we've seen so far?
No.
Like the Indiana game?
No.
I think they would get smoked.
Me too.
I think they'd get, I mean, I think having fresh legs is great, that's fine, but reps, you need reps, more reps, especially for this defense and this secondary. They need practice, they need reps, they need, you know, and the way they've looked. I mean, I think a Notre Dame, an Alabama, a Clemson, any of those teams that even, I mean, would probably put up some points. I mean.
Yep. That's the one thing, too, is it's like, do we want to see Ohio State in the college football playoff? Yeah. But do we really want to see Ohio State in the college football playoff and possibly have a la 2016 Clemson happen again?
Yep. I don't
either. I don't either. I mean, of course I want to see Ohio State play in the college football playoff, but ultimately it really kind of boils down to, and this is what sucks, because the NCAA is giving these kids a pass to come back with the same year. This is basically a practice year. But if these kids want to leave and go to the pros, because technically they've been out of high school for 3 years, then they're allowed to do it. So even though it's a throwaway year, I can see like where Ross's point is, and probably most other people's points, that the players still look at this as being a legitimate season, because ultimately this could be their last year in a scarlet and gray jersey. And after this, they're going pro. You know, we just said it before about Olave and Fields. You know, Trey Sermon, he's a grad transfer, so he's only here for a year. Hell, Master Teague, I mean, he's a redshirt sophomore this year. He could leave after this season if he wants to. We know Sean Wade's gone, which may or may not be a blessing in disguise at this point, as we've discussed. Yeah. And we had a discussion on last week's podcast with Kevin. But nonetheless, you know, I see where a lot of people feel that this is still a legitimate year, and I'm sure the players do too, because this is for some of them going to be their last season playing in their college team's uniform, and they want to make it count. And so I get it in that regard, like you just said earlier, but from a fan standpoint, it doesn't feel legit to me. And as far as I'm concerned, and everybody, even those people out there, Jeremy, who are saying, well, this season counts, and I really hard, you know, I really truly believe in my heart that this is a legitimate football season, people are always, some way, shape, or form, going to look back and say, yeah, but that was the 2020 season. Yeah, but Ohio State didn't play as many games as Alabama or Clemson. Yeah, but, you know, Ohio State didn't get into the reason Northwestern and Indiana played for a Big Ten championship is because Ohio State couldn't because of COVID. So I don't look at that Big Ten championship as being legitimate. There's always going to, there will be, everybody out there is going to bring that up. There is always going to be a caveat, an asterisk, whatever you want to say to this season. I don't care who you are, and you might sit there and say, well, I'm not going to say that. Then when the time comes next year or the year after, and we look back at 2020, I don't want to hear you sit there and say, yeah, but, well, this, well, that, whatever. I don't want to hear it, because I'm sitting here saying it right now that you're going to say it. And if you don't say it and you stick to your guns, then I take my hat off to you and applaud you. But me personally, that is my opinion of this season.
I'm with you, and it's hard because as a player, especially this sport, man, with what they put on the line out there, as physical of a game as it's become, and you know, the preparation that goes into it and the heart that they put in, I get it from their vantage point. But like you said, man, as a fan, it's hard for me to put any validity in it, just as a fan. And I don't want to be that typical, you know, Ohio State fan where it's like, you know, how we're like viewed from other areas of the country.
Yeah.
Those stupid Buckeye, you know.
Yep.
And you're right, dude. There will be Buckeye fans who, it matters. This season does count. And then when we go get our ass handed to us by somebody like 2016 Clemson, let's say we get in the playoffs and get just lambasted by somebody, those same people will go, yeah, but, you know, that was the COVID year. Well, you weren't saying that leading up to that ass beating. You were saying that the season mattered, and it, you know, and then when they get killed by somebody, it'll be, like you said, yeah, but.
Exactly.
I don't want to be that fan. I'm saying right now, and I mean this with everything I have, and I know Kevin brought it up to you, and I mean this, strike me down, man. If Ohio State made the playoffs and they won the whole damn thing, I would not be like, national champs, baby. I would just be like, you know, yeah, they won. I mean, but I can't put any validity on it. Either way, whether they don't make it or they make it and win, I'm not putting any validity either way. Like, I'm just not going. I'm just not.
Here's going to be an extremely unpopular opinion, and I'm going along with you. Exactly. I'm going to be the one saying, yeah, but that was a COVID year, and Ohio State certainly didn't play as many games because they had fresher legs, which I'm with you. I think more reps means more than having fresher legs. But if they were to win, I would feel happy, but I would just not feel complete. I would not feel complete seeing Ohio State win a national championship having played, you know, 8 games against a Notre Dame who's, you know, at this point, they've played 9 games with 2 more to go. Then if they get into the ACC Conference Championship, there's what, 12 games? Yeah. Then they play 2 more. They'll have played 14 games.
14 games.
14 games if they get into the national championship. And then, you know, you look at Alabama, who's, I think, played, they postponed their game against LSU, but I think that they...
They're making it up.
Yeah,
they're going to make it up.
So, you know, you're looking at even in Alabama, they've played 8 games with, what, one? I thought they were playing a 10-game schedule.
Yeah, the SEC, I think, was doing 10 games plus the SEC championship game.
Yeah, so, well, and this is interesting because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... LSU is only going to be their 9th game. And I thought that they were at least playing 10. I guess.
Do they still have another game left other than that?
According,
because I know the LSU-Alabama game is being made up on the 5th.
Yeah. No, I mean, according to their schedule on ESPN, LSU is the last game to be played.
What, did they have another game canceled that they're not making up? I thought Alabama's only cancellation was the LSU one, which they're now making up on the 5th.
Right. Well, there was a bye week there, I guess, the 7th of this month. At least there's a space there between October 31st and November 14th, which was Mississippi State and LSU.
Well, to go to something you just said, we were talking about the fresher legs. It's like, as opposed to reps, it's like, listen, man, fresher legs will get you through against Illinois or against Rutgers or against, you know, even the Indiana game. I think that game was due to a lack of cupcake games to start the season, getting the reps that we needed, and then, you know, playing a team that's halfway decent, and then, you know, and then having fresher legs against, like, an Alabama or a Clemson, I think we would get blown off the field. I think we need reps. We need, like, I just think fresher legs isn't going to cut it against the top teams in the country, but it'll cut it against Rutgers and, you know, Maryland, or, you know, you can get by with less reps and fresher legs, but not later on in, you know, playoff time. I think they would get obliterated.
Well, you know, you and I, you know, we played our fair amount of sports. I was more backyard sports than I was on the field because I didn't necessarily have the size to play football or basketball. And I ran cross country for 4 years. And, you know, you were obviously a hell of a baseball player there at St. Charles. And you had your time playing, outside of school, playing, you know, summer leagues and AAU ball and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you look back at when you were in, you know, your playing days, and I think back to my cross country days, if I didn't, you know, go out and run as often and get myself in that kind of shape, I would have fresher legs running against some of those other guys, but I wouldn't have built up near the amount of stamina that some of the other guys who had run more races or practiced more or run more miles or done stuff like that. And I'm sure you'd agree that if you had only gone out and pitched a few games, your arm may not be as jelly-like as some of the other guys who had pitched way more games, but their arm is probably going to have a lot more stamina and be in a lot better shape to last more innings and play in more games than somebody who's not.
Right. 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
It's reps, man. Reps. I can't stress it enough. That's why when the season started, Nebraska's not a very good football team. They're not. But when we we're just thrown into the fight. You know, we're playing Nebraska game one, boom. We're not playing, you know, any MAC teams or any, you know, any cupcake teams to kind of get our feet under us, get reps in. It makes a huge difference, man. It does. I think that's why the Big Ten is flipped on its head right now, and you've got Penn State, who's horrible, Michigan, who's horrible, and, you know, you got Indiana and Northwestern that might play in the damn Big Ten championship game. I think reps matter. I think they're just they're huge, especially when you're replacing nearly your entire secondary. It's massive. It just it matters.
So going back to it, no, we don't need to reiterate, but it would be interesting if Ohio State were to win the national championship at this point. And let's say, all right, let's say they beat Michigan State, they beat the Rodents, they win the Big Ten championship game, which more than likely looks like Northwestern at this point. And so they've now played, what would that be, 7 games, and then they go in to the college football playoff, and they beat Notre Dame in the first round, and then they beat Alabama in the national championship, and they go 9-0 and win the national championship. Do we give them any credit at that point?
Oh man, you know, on the surface, just listening to you say that, beating Notre Dame, beating Alabama, it makes you want to be like, yes, but it's like, I can't. I don't know. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I can't, man. I just, now, if it was a traditional season, not a COVID season, we played a full season, we went, you know, 12-0, and then we did that, oh, hell yeah, dude.
Oh, without a doubt.
All bets are off, but in this season, it's hard for me. It just is. It's hard for me to put a stamp on it of approval for me. Now, am I being a selfish, you know, Buckeye fan who's just being, you know, meh. But we've talked about this, man. Perception of Buckeye fan. I can't put any validity on it. I just can't.
I know. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, too. But that's just where my mind is at. And thinking of it, though, in those terms, beating, let's say, a one loss, probably going to be, because after their loss last night, 8th ranked, undefeated, and then they lose to Michigan State, who had one damn win on the year. Now that's going to throw Northwestern down. I bet you they drop a good solid 7 or 8 spots.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so they might, they'll probably, if they win out, they'll work their way back up to, you know, I bet you at least top 15, because this will probably drop them to around 15 in the country. Probably. Maybe they might even still remain in the top 15. But, you know, you beat, let's say, at least a top 15 Northwestern with one loss, and you go beat a Notre Dame or an Alabama or a Clemson, and then, you know, in one way, shape, or form, beat two of those three teams for the national championship, and you go 9-0. It's going to be damn hard not to get excited about it. It really is.
I know. That's the thing. That's why I say, when listening to you ask that, and just your words and hearing it, it's like, oh my God, man! If we would beat Notre Dame and like Alabama, it's like, like hell yeah, dude! But then, when you put it in context with this season, it's like, it's just hard. Now, is this because we're coming off of yesterday where we're so down because that game was canceled and it's fresh and we don't even know if we're going to get the Michigan State game in. And so mentally we're just kind of down right now. So it's hard to talk about the long term at the end of the season of being excited. It's hard coming off of feeling the way we feel from yesterday or from Friday night when it was announced it was not going to be a game. It's a rough time right now to be excited. It's just,
yeah.
It's, you know what I'm saying? And then we talked off the air last week, and I, you know, for people that may not know, we talked about how as we're getting older, and you get married, and you're starting. It's like the whole Buckeye thing starts to kind of, you know,
take a back seat.
It's not as intense as it used to be. So
it's
are we in that mold now, or we're in our 40s? It's just not as intense as maybe 10, 15. 20 years ago, like, would we be singing a different tune if we were 30?
I think, you know what? I think that is an excellent excellent point and a great way of looking at it. I do. I think if you and I, back 10, 15 years ago, chilling there in Galloway on Jolliffe Street, watching all the games that we did, we would be singing a different tune right now than what we are. I believe that. I believe that. Age has definitely changed my outlook and perspective on Ohio State football. And it's kind of sad to say, but yeah, I'm just not as intense about it as I used to be. And here I am hosting a podcast, so I hope people don't take that the wrong way.
No, I don't think they do. It's just a fact of life, sort of. It's not to say that we don't still take it extremely serious. That's not, but it's just not as intense as it used to be maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
It's just not. It's not that we don't. I mean, obviously, we're sitting here talking about it in extreme, you know, detail. We care about it a lot. But, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I'm just saying, as you get older, man, it's just things change a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just the fact of life. I mean.
Yep.
It is what it is, man.
It is what it is. It is what it is. And speaking of being what it is, I guess that's what the smelly rodents are right now. They are what they are. Dude, once again, you know, we're throwing this season away. It's all practice. But it's still fun to rip on that team up north when we see them doing as bad as they are doing. It's like a double-edged sword because, as we've said for years and years and years, I want those bastards to be as good as possible so when we play them and we beat them, the win means more, the victory means more. It's seen as a better victory in the eyes of the playoff committee, just the college football landscape in general. And I know I've argued with people against that as well, where they're like, nah, man, people see this win as being every bit as important as any other win on the schedule, if not more so, just because it's Michigan. And I'm like, dude, you're wrong. When you continue to beat a team as much as you are beating them, I'm sorry, but at some point, it does not become a rivalry. Okay? Right now, beating Michigan is almost like beating Purdue. Or, well, hell, Purdue's beaten Ohio State more in the last few years than Michigan has.
That is true.
It's like beating Illinois. It's like beating Indiana. You know, this is starting to fall away, Jeremy. I'm sorry. In the eyes, especially of the younger generation out there, this is not a rivalry.
It's not.
It's not.
And, you know, we've talked about how things are cyclical, but I think it's getting to the point where I'm not so sure this is going to be something that's cyclical. I'm not sure that Michigan will ever, you know,
return to dominance.
No, it's kind of, dude, we're 18-2 against them since 2000. Think about that for a minute. I mean, that's not a rivalry.
No.
I mean, that's, you know, and here's the weird thing. I get more concerned about playing Michigan when they suck and we're good as opposed to when we're both good. Because I don't want them to ruin our seat. It's usually when they suck and we're good that they sneak up on us and they beat us.
Like all those Cooper years, man.
Yes.
93, 95, 96.
Yes. And last night in the group text, Ross was like, in the group text was like, man, I hope Michigan doesn't beat us. And I'm like, man, I was like, even if we even get to play them, but I get his point because they are terrible. And what better season to beat us than this crazy ass season that's going on? And, you know, go back to what we talked about last week, help Jim Harbaugh save his job.
Here's an interesting caveat then. Let's throw this in for people out there who truly believe that this season matters.
Oh, here we go. I know exactly what you're going to say.
If Michigan beats us, how much does this season matter?
Is it going to be a yeah, but, or is it going to be a, you know, those same people that were waving the pom-poms that this season matters, if they were to beat us, would you then use it as an excuse and turn and go, well, yeah, but this was the COVID season. You weren't screaming that before the game.
Exactly. I guarantee. guarantee that the people who not only are going to say that kind of stuff after this season's done, if we beat Michigan, are definitely going to be saying it come this time next year or after the season's done if we lose to Michigan. Guarantee there will be a ton of people on that, well, yeah, but, you know, yeah, COVID, but, bandwagon if we lose to Michigan. Guarantee it.
I guarantee they will. And you just said something that I always do. You said, if we beat Michigan. And I just said a few minutes ago that since 2000, we're 18-2 against Michigan. Yet I will never say when we beat Michigan. I always say
if
we beat Michigan, because I still don't have the confidence, even though in the last 20 years we're 18-2, to say we're automatically going to win that game. I still can't do it. I still have to say if we beat Michigan. I can never say it's guaranteed we're going to beat them. There's no doubt. Like, on paper this year, should we? Absolutely. We should destroy them. But I still can't. I just can't do it. I can't give in to that. I just can't.
And that's because of the era that we grew up in the good old 9-3 Earl era, yep, when we were younger. And then, of course, throughout the Cooper years, you know, I'm a little too young to fully remember all of those Earl games, you know, certainly from, you know, 1979 up to about, you know, probably even right around 1986 when their cack smack of a coach guaranteed a win when he was their quarterback and they got it down here.
Yeah.
I probably remember about from that game on, as far as a Buckeye fan. But even still, you know, go back, you look at the history books, you know, we were alive during the Earl era. And Earl went 5-4 against Michigan, and it was still a rivalry then. Obviously then, ever since, I mean, John Cooper, man, 1988, when John Cooper took over, look, for 1980 friggin' 8, Jeremy, for over 30 years! Over 30 years! This has truly not been a rivalry. I'm sorry. A rivalry is even. Now, maybe one team wins for 2 or 3 years, but then the next team at least will win a season or two after that. And keep that spectrum balanced. Not this rivalry, man. For over 30 years, this has been a completely uneven, one-sided rivalry. Yes, Michigan has won twice since 2001. Yes, Ohio State did win twice in a 13-year span under John Cooper. But that's not even.
No, it's not.
That's not even.
And think about this, too. Earl Bruce went 5-4 against Michigan. We ran him out of town.
Yeah.
Imagine if Tim Harbaugh started out 5-4 against Ohio State, how much differently he would be viewed. He's over.
Yeah.
He's over.
Yeah.
And Bruce went 5-4 and we ran him out of town.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, think about that for a minute. That tells you where it's, you know, and I think that's why I just can't say we're going to win with conviction. I always say if when we play them, because I just know, because of those years in the 90s, I just can't, you know.
I know.
And it baffles me, too, that I see a lot of, and I work with some, too, a lot of young kids that are Michigan fans that are probably, you know, 25 to 30 years old. So I think back of when I started following and understanding and knowing the game, which was about when you were like 84, 85, 86, in that ballpark. I remember the Keith Byers touchdown where a shoe came off and we be coming back.
Illinois.
That's when I was against Illinois, and that was one of the fond memories I have growing up, and I started following. So I look at these young kids that are like 25 to 30 and they're in Columbus, born and raised, and they're staunch Michigan fans. And I think to myself, so
how?
Yeah, how? Because if you, let's say you're 30, so that means
you were born in 90.
Yeah, so since 90 to now, there's nothing that would make you want to be a Michigan. And then those same kids will talk about, you know, well, back in, you know, 1970, it's like, you weren't even, I don't want to hear you argue about something that happened way before you were born. Or the biggest one that Michigan fans use now, because we've just taken over this game, is, well, we're the winningest program, and it's like, oh, please stop with that. Like, quit. Like, you can't even argue against us. There's nothing you can argue against us currently that holds any water. So you talk about nonsense that, like, you know, we're the winningest program, or, you know, but way before I was even born, we owned you. Like, who cares, man? Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. I just don't understand these young kids that are Michigan fans, because, I, you know, it's like, my wife always asks me, like, why do you think that is? I'm like, it has to be either somebody on Ohio State, whether it was a coach or a player, they just didn't like them. You know, somebody rubs you the wrong way, you just don't like them. Maybe they didn't like Urban Meyer. Maybe they didn't like, you know, Jim Tressel or a certain player that played. So they just, I'm going to like the team that everybody, you know, is their rival. Like the team that would make Columbus people even more pissed off, I'm going to root for Michigan. Because I can't think of a reason why a young person would become a Michigan fan in the last 20 years. Like, if you're 24, 5, 6, 7, what the hell would make you want to be a Michigan fan?
The only thing I could think of is the age, honestly, being a factor. So let's say, okay, 1990 is when a kid was born, and he's, you know, kid, 30 years old. Okay, you probably do start remembering watching sports and stuff like that when you were about 6, 7, 8 years old.
Okay.
So let's think about it then. You were born in 90. Right around then, Michigan was still good, and they were beating Ohio State, right? 96, 97, you know, 99, 2000. So in that regard, if you were legitimately born in 1990, I could almost see why you did grow up as a Michigan fan at that point, or because your dad or your uncle or your mom or your grandma, your, you know, you know, your great uncle, you know, Ernest was a Michigan fan, and that's why you grew up as a Michigan fan, because they were always watching the game, and of course them being older and Michigan being more prominent back in their day would create you to be a Michigan fan now. But ultimately, yes, if you know, I remember a couple years ago when I was at the 2018 press conference before the Michigan game, and there were a lot of reporters who were asking these players, like, do you remember this and that and that and this? And they were basically like, yeah, no, basically, since I've been growing up, this has been a one-sided affair. Yeah. Ohio State, I've really never seen Ohio State lose to Michigan. So, theoretically, anyone who was born in 2001, or hell, even, you know, let's go back to 1998, 99, because at that point, when Ohio State started winning in 01, they were like, what, 2, 3 years old? So they're not going to remember those games either. You know, hell, even probably the mid-90s, kids who are like 25 years old and younger, they never really saw and can remember Michigan beating Ohio State like you and I can.
Right.
And, I mean, we had to live through all those heartbreaking years of John Cooper. I mean, watching Michigan win the first 4 games against Ohio State, and then finally, when Ohio State doesn't lose, they don't win either. It's a damn tie. And Gordon Gee out there, why, this is the greatest victory in Ohio State football history.
A tie.
Yeah, all right, bow tie, four eyes. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Oh,
you
God.
Know what I'm saying? Get your ass out of here, bro.
You're going to make me have PTSD.
Oh, my God. So, you know, we had to live through, I mean, Ohio State legitimately did not get their first win over Michigan in the John Cooper era until the 94 game. I mean, we had to go through 6 years of watching them lose, or at least not lose, or not lose, but not win to Michigan.
Right.
And,
go ahead.
I mean, it's just, and some of those teams that we had, man, it's been the 93, 95, and 96 teams. I mean, dude, Ohio State legitimately from 93 to 98 should have lost maybe that one game, legitimate loss to Michigan in the Big House. And that was only by, what, 6 points? So, yeah.
My worst experience in that game, was my freshman year of college, because I went to Eastern Michigan up in Ypsilanti. And that year in 90, we were 9-0-1, and we were ranked second in the country, I think, at that time. And they weren't very good that year. I think they were like 6-4, maybe.
That 93 and game.
93 seed. And I ran my mouth all week, and they beat us 28-0. And I had to live. I ran my mouth all week long because I was like, there's no. And that's what I learned. You always say it. Don't ever guarantee it, because I think we were 9-0-1. I think we were ranked second in the country.
We were 9-0-1. I do remember that, because like 2 weeks before, we had tied Wisconsin.
Yes.
Because if you remember, Marlon Kerner came off the edge on what would have been a game-winning field goal to block Wisconsin's attempt and kept the game tied. And if I'm not mistaken, we did go into that game like fifth in the country, but still.
Yeah, we were top five, and they beat us 28-0.
Yeah, but and we had a Rose Bowl on the line. Because if you remember, guys like Chico Nelson and Foster Polk were like, they all had the roses in their mouths before the game even started. They had the roses in their mouths, and like, why are you doing this? Why are you chewing on the roses right now? Like, you haven't even started the game, and you're coming out of the locker room with roses in your mouth. They had to win that game, and guess what? They didn't. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Iowa went and played in the Rose Bowl that year because of that loss. But still.
That, now, see, that I can't remember. I think after that 28-0 shellacking, I think I, yeah. I'll never forget the sweet mates at the time. They wouldn't let me live it. I mean, that whole rest of that year was just awful. 28-0.
Yeah, 28-0. I know. And then you got 95 up there.
Oh,
Eddie's Heisman Trophy winning season. Yep. And then
famous Ty Streets,
96.
John Frank falling down.
Yep.
And Ty Streets going 70 yards for a touchdown.
Yep.
Oh, 13, it was 13-9, but it was final that game, was 13-9.
Yep, 96 with the at home. And I mean, dude, our offense was just gangbusters, and they could not do a damn thing. They just kept running Peppy. And Peppy was a hell of a running back, don't get me wrong. But it was just like all they kept doing was trying to run Peppy all game long. And it's like, throw the damn ball. Throw the damn ball. You guys have been throwing the ball with ease this season. And, you know, but so shoulda, woulda, coulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. But, well, sir, I think that is probably going to do it for this edition of the show. Well, wait. Let me ask you this then. Because we didn't really even get into the discussion. The fact that Penn State beats Michigan for their first win of the season. And once again, throwaway, practice year, yada, yada, yada. But it's still fun to make fun of the rodents when they lose.
Of course.
I mean, where's Jim Harbaugh at in saving his job?
Dude.
This has got to be a nail driven further into his coffin after losing yesterday.
Well, we talked the week before about how we laughed because we thought Rutgers would be the game. Like, even though Rutgers is terrible, it's like, you have to beat Rutgers. Like, you can't lose to Rutgers. You know, like, if you want to keep your job, at least for the rest of, you know,
for
this
that
year,
week,
have another year next year, you got to beat Rutgers. And then they turn around at home and get beat by Penn State, who hadn't won a game yet. It was their first win of the season.
By 10 points, and looked kind of crappy.
Yeah, looked crappy. And it's like, now I think to myself, does Jim Harbaugh, because you would think, well, you know, if they beat us for some reason at the end of the season, that would definitely, you know, be a feather in his cap. But it's like, does he even want to play us? Like, I mean, could it be that we get to that game, like we do get through this week somehow, and we beat Michigan State, and then they don't want to, because he doesn't want to take another beating, and he would, you know, be on the hot seat if we go and just beat the holy hell out of him? So, I don't know, man. I think beating us would be but are they even going to play us?
I would say that if he's able to get a win against Maryland this weekend, and then obviously beats us in the shoe, you know, the weekend after this coming weekend, the 12th, going 4-4 with a win over Ohio State, and probably even getting yourself in a bowl game at that point, would save his season. And Ross had been a guy that had said, I think it's unfair to fire somebody in a COVID year. And I agree, because ultimately this is a throwaway practice season. But if you're a Michigan fan, I mean, you, COVID season or not, you've just got to be beside yourself. Or is maybe that how Jim Harbaugh is looking at this season? That it's indeed a throwaway practice year, so he's just out there doing whatever the hell he wants willy-nilly, and he's honestly prepping and priming these guys for next year. It doesn't. I would think that that's not the attitude that they should be taking, but I don't know. I can't figure it out. I can't wrap my head around this right now.
Well, see, it's interesting because it's everything that we. It's kind of funny that we're talking about this last, because almost everything we've talked about in this, you know, conversation kind of leads up to this. Like, does he look at it like how the fans are? It's a yeah, but season, and it's a throwaway season as far as, like, all these players, you can get them reps, and it's not going to, you know, they're going to have another year of eligibility next year. Is he just looking at this as a year of getting guys in and getting them reps, and then next year is going to be our year? And, you know, it's possible. It's very possible, because I agree with Ross. I don't think, even though there's people that are saying, you know, yeah, but, you know, it's a COVID season, I don't think you can fire him after this year. I just don't. I think it's one of those seasons that you just kind of have to look at it as a wash. And then now it's next year, because, you know, they are losing games pretty bad this year. They lost 49-11 at home to Wisconsin. You know, they lost by 10 yesterday. But, you know, now if next year we get back to a regular season, God willing, and they look as horrible, yeah, he's probably going to get fired. But I don't think this year you can. I just don't think it's right. But that's coming from, dude, that's coming from me and you, who look at this season as kind of a, you know, it's hard to put validity on this season anyway. So that's why I think I wouldn't hold it against them. But people that take this season as a, you know, it does matter, it does count. And then you got the people that are just the regular Buckeye fans that are like, screw Michigan, yeah, fire Jim Harbaugh. Those people probably say, yeah, fire him. But I don't think you can. But that's because of the stance where I'm coming from. So,
well, and here's just another little cherry on top of that discussion is concerned. Next year is the last year of his contract, at least of his current contract.
Interesting.
So,
I'm a firm believer that Michigan will never fire him. I think it will be a situation where he'll probably get another job, whether it be in the pros or whatnot, and they'll let him kind of walk away, not fired. I don't think they can fire Jim Hart just because of what he's meant to the university. He played there, you know, and he's coaching there, and, you know, even though it didn't work, I can't see them just firing him. I think it'll be somewhere they kind of let him walk out the back door and say he took another job, yada, yada, to save face for him.
If they were to fire him before next year, a buyout would be around, like, $10 million.
Jesus, man.
$10 million. And I think he's guaranteed, like, $7 million. So I'm sure that they would rather just suck it up, pay him one more year next year, give him that, hey, all right, you got one more year to prove it here, Jimmy. And yeah, if you don't, then we're going to let you go. We don't have to pay out the rest of your contract, and we hire in a coach that maybe, probably, more than likely, will pay less than you and might still have a better season.
Luke Fickell?
I tell you what, that is a debate for another podcast.
No, I know. I just thought I had
but
to put it in there.
That,
we talked about it off the air.
You and I definitely, we talked about the likelihood of Luke Fickell and what that scenario would look like if he were to become the head coach of that team up north. What would that look like as far as us as Ohio State fans, the rivalry in general, Michigan, the whole nine? That is definitely something that we need to talk about, maybe not only with Kevin, but maybe with Ross. And we need to get a little four-way going on in that.
We need to get a roundtable discussion on that one, because that would instantaneously bring the rivalry back.
I believe that.
Immediately.
Yep, I agree. But a discussion for another day, sir. So on that note, let's go ahead and close it down and thank everybody for listening to yet again another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast. I'm Andy Evans. He's Jeremy Royer. And, sir, let's send him out like we always do. OH!
IO!
Go Bucks!
Back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town, to the stage to hear the band, by far the finest in the land. I want to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town. I want to go back.